Welcome to Bhakti Sangajapa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Great Hari Parshad Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.28 onwards. So Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much and Dhanvat Pranam. All yours to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for giving us
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you for giving
Dhanvat
us
Pranam. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much. Can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes, yeah, Prabhuji, we can hear you very well.
Yeah, Prabhuji. I'll
hand over the call to you.
Yes, thank you, Mataji.
Prabhuji, can you start?
Hare Krishna. Yes?
Can you start your camera?
Mataji, I'm here. I'm simply having bandwidth for audio. I'm not having bandwidth for video. If I start the camera, the connection will be very poor.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji, for kindly inviting me here for speaking today on Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a very special verse today because it is the fourth canto, 24th chapter, verse number 28. And I would like to thank Shyama Gauri Mataji for kindly extending this invitation to him. This particular verse occurs in the chapter named Rudra Geet. Rudra Geet is chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. So I'll sing this verse, and after singing this verse, we'll see the synonyms and translation as well as purport by Srila Prabhupada. Then I'll try to speak something on this verse. But we'll first begin with Mangalacharan, which is our standard practice. Most of us know these verses, so we can sing together. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam rupah kadamahiyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaurapani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishaye Nama E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Verse Number 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yaha Param Ramhasah Sakshat Triguna Jiva Samgitat Bhagavantam Vasudevam Prapannah Sapriyohime. Synonyms. Yaha, anyone. Param transcendental. Ramhasah of the controller. Sakshat directly. Trigunath from the three modes of material nature. Jiva Samgitat, living entities called by the name Jivas. Bhagavantam, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudevam, unto Krishna. Prapannah, surrendered. Sah, he. Priyah, very dear. He, undoubtedly. Me, of me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Lord Shiva continued, any person who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the controller of everything, material nature as well as the living entity, is actually very dear to me. Purport. Now Lord Shiva explains the reason he has personally come before the princes. It is because all the princes are devotees of Lord Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Vahunam janmanamante jnanavan vam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatva sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Lord Shiva is rarely seen by common men. And similarly, a person who is fully surrendered unto Vasudev Krishna is also very rarely seen, because a person who is fully surrendered unto the Supreme Lord is very rare. Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Consequently, Lord Shiva came especially to see the Prachetas because they were fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Vasudev is also mentioned in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Since Vasudev is the ultimate truth, Lord Shiva openly proclaims that one who is a devotee of Lord Vasudev, who is surrendered to Lord Krishna, is actually very dear to him. Lord Vasudev Krishna is worshipable not only by ordinary living entities, but by demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and others. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta Stunvanti Divyaistavai. Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, 13th Chapter, Verse Number 1. Krishna is worshipped by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Varuna, Indra, Chandra and all other demigods. That is also the situation with a devotee. Indeed, one who takes to Krishna consciousness immediately becomes very dear to anyone who is simply finding out and beginning to understand what Krishna consciousness actually is. Similarly, all the demigods are also trying to find out who is actually surrendered to Lord Vasudev. Because the Pracheta princes were surrendered to Vasudev, Lord Shiva willingly came forth to see them. Lord Vasudev or Krishna is described in Bhagavad Gita as Purushottam. Actually, he is the enjoyer, Purusha, and the supreme, Uttama, as well. He is the enjoyer of everything, the Prakriti and the Purush. Being influenced by the three modes of material nature, the living entity tries to dominate material nature. But actually, he is not the Purush, enjoyer, but Prakriti, as described in Bhagavad Gita 7 chapter 5th verse. Apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. Thus the jiva, or living entity, is actually Prakriti, or the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. Being associated with material energy, he tries to lord it over the material nature. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter 7th verse. Amaivamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana मनःषष्ठानि इन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which includes the mind. By endeavoring to dominate material nature, the living entity simply struggles hard for existence. Indeed, he struggles so hard to enjoy himself that he cannot even enjoy the material resources. Thus, he is sometimes called Prakriti or Jiva, for he is situated in the marginal potency. When the living entity is covered with the three modes of material nature, he is called Jiva Samgita. There are two kinds of living entities. One is called Kshara and the other is Akshara. Kshara refers to those who have fallen down and become conditioned, and Akshara refers to those who are not conditioned. The vast majority of living entities live in the spiritual world and are called Akshara. They are in the position of Brahman, pure spiritual existence. They are different from those who have been conditioned by the three modes of material nature. Being above both the Akshara and Akshara, Lord Krishna, Vasudev, is described in Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter 18th verse as Purushottam. The impersonalist may say that Vasudev is the impersonal Brahman, but actually the impersonal Brahman is subordinate to Krishna, as also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter 27th verse. Brahmano hi pratishtham, that Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman, is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita 5th chapter verse number 40. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. The impersonal Brahman is nothing but the effulgence or bodily rays of Krishna. And in those bodily rays there are innumerable universes floating. Thus in all respects, Vasudev, Krishna, is the Supreme Lord, and Lord Shiva is very satisfied with those who are completely surrendered to him. Complete surrender is desired by Krishna, as he indicates in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. The word sakshat means directly is very significant. There are many so-called devotees, but actually they are only karmis and jnanis, for they are not directly devotees of Lord Krishna. The karmis sometimes offer the result of their activities to Lord Vasudev, and this offering is called karmarpanam. These are considered to be fruitive activities, for the karmis consider Lord Vishnu to be one of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Because they consider Lord Vishnu to be on the same level with the other demigods, they contend that surrendering to the demigods is as good as surrendering to Vasudev. This contention is denied herein, because if it were true, Lord Shiva would have said that surrender unto him Lord Vasudev, Vishnu or Brahma is the same. However, Lord Shiva does not say this, because he himself surrenders unto Vasudev, and whoever else surrenders unto Vasudev is very, very dear to him. This is expressed herein openly. The conclusion is that a devotee of Lord Shiva is not dear to Lord Shiva, but a devotee of Lord Krishna is very dear to Lord Shiva. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees, once again, for kindly assembling here to hear something on Srimad Bhagavatam. Once again, today is the 20th of February, and we are discussing Canto 4, Chapter 24, verse number 28. Yaha param ramhasah sakshat trigunat jiva samgitat bhagavantam vasudevam prapannah sa priyohime. So, this particular episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking about the sons of King Prachinavarhi. Their name is Prachetas. They are going to perform austerities in order to beget progeny, but on the way they happen to meet Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva suddenly comes in front of them and speaks this verse. यः परं ब्रह्म सः साक्षात् त्रिगुणात् जीव संगीतात् भगवन्तं वासुदेवं प्रपन्नः स प्रियोहि मे. लॉर्ड शिव इज सेइंग यः परं, देर इज अ पर्टिकुलर पर्सनैलिटी हु इज ट्रांसेंडेंटल. ट्रांसेंडेंटल टू वॉट? ब्रह्मसः. ब्रह्मसः मीन्स ट्रांसेंडेंटल टू द पर्टिकुलर मटेरियल नेचर त्रिगुणात, एंड दैट मटेरियल नेचर इज हैविंग थ्री मोड्स. ओके, एंड दैट पर्सन इज ऑल्सो ट्रांसेंडेंटल टू द लिविंग एंटिटी. जीव संगीतात, हु इज दैट पर्सन? ही इज साक्षात भगवंतम वासुदेवम. सो ही इज directly Lord Vasudev. And prapannah, anybody who is surrendered to that Lord Vasudev, sir, that living entity, me priyohi, he is very dear to me. This is Lord Shiva's statement here. Before I start explaining something, I would also like to read from the commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always used to say, Jagat Guru Sridhar Swami Guru Karimani, Sridhar Anugat Karo Bhagavat Vyakhyan. Consider Sridhar Swami to be Jagat Guru. And if somebody has to explain Srimad Bhagavatam, they should try to explain it in the line of Srila Sridhar Swami. So I am reading from Srila Sridhar Swami's Sanskrit commentary, and I will translate that commentary. These are the exact words of Srila Sridhar Swami on this particular verse. Srila Sridhar Swami says, Anugraha Karanam Aha. So Sridhar Swami is saying, the reason for Lord Shiva being pleased on the Prachetas is being explained in this verse. Then Sridhar Swami explains concisely what is the gist of the verse. He says, यह साक्षात वासुदेवं प्रपन्नः स हि मे प्रियः. अ पर्सन हु इज डायरेक्टली सरेंडर्ड टू लॉर्ड वासुदेव इज वेरी डियर टू लॉर्ड शिव. कथम भूतम, व्हाट इज द नेचर ऑफ दैट लॉर्ड वासुदेव? ब्रह्मसः, आंसर इज गिवन बाय द टर्म ब्रह्मसः. ब्रह्मसः सूक्ष्मा त्रिगुणात् प्रधानात्. That person is, that Lord Vasudev is transcendental to the subtle material nature which is made out of the three modes. Then Sridhar Swami says, Jiva Sangeetat Purushaccha Param. And that Lord Vasudev is also transcendental to the Purusha, that Purusha who is known as Jiva or the living entity. Then Srila Sridhar Swami concludes by saying, Prakriti Purushayor Niyantaram Ityarthaha. The meaning is that Lord Vasudev is the Niyanta. Niyanta is the controller of Prakriti as well as Purusha, of the material nature as well as the living entity that is entangled in the material nature. So this is such a nice verse by Lord Shiva. And it has come at such an apt moment, because within 2 days is Shivratri, also known as Mahashivratri. Within 2 days there will be Mahashivratri. And this Shivratri, it marks the wedding ceremony of Lord Shiva. So on this Shivratri, Mahashivratri is the wedding ceremony of Lord Shiva. And there are many verses in the Hari Bhakti Vilas which are specifying what a Vaishnav should do on Mahashivratri. So I would like to read something from the 14th chapter of Hari Bhakti Vilas. This is verse number 193 onwards. So I would like to read something about it. I'm sorry, it's verse 186 onwards. I'd like to read something about Shivratri Vrat, or the vow of Shivratri. So, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas says, Atha Shivratri Vratam. Now I will describe the vow for Shivratri. So in verse number 186 in chapter 14 he says Shivratri vratam idam yadyapi avashyakam nahi. This vow of Shivratri is although not compulsory, it is not compulsory for Vaishnavas. This is the first thing that he writes about Shivratri. So if it is not compulsory, then why are you mentioning it here? So Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami says Vaishnavanam tathapyatra sadacharad vilikhyate. But still, because it is a general practice, general good practice to mention about the Shivratri vow, therefore this vow, I am writing it here. So this Shivratri vow, although it is not compulsory for the Vaishnavas, still because it has been a practice of the ancient authors to mention it, so sadacharad vilikhyate, because it has been a good practice, so I am continuing that practice of writing about Shivratri. All right, so should Vaishnavas execute Shivratri? Because in the earlier verse it is given that it is not compulsory. What is your recommendation? So Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami says Shivratri vratam krishna chaturtashyam tu phalgune vaishnavair api tat karyam shri krishna pritaye sada. So some devotee might say, what will a Vaishnav get by executing Shivratri? So Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami says Shivratri vratam, this vow of Shivratri, krishna chaturdashyam tu palgune, it's on the 14th night of the dark fortnight of the month of Phalgun. Vaishnavair api tat karyam, a devotee should also execute it. It is also executable by the devotees. Why? Shri Krishna Paritaye Sada. For always attaining loving devotional service unto Lord Krishna. So the reason for executing Shivratri for the Vaishnavas is so that they can attain the love of Lord Shri Krishna. Then he quotes a verse from the Padma Purana, Vratakhanda. So Padma Purana, there is a section called as Vratakhanda, the section dealing with vows. So he is quoting a verse from Padma Purana, which says, Sauro va Vaishnavo vanyo devatantara pujakah na puja phalam apnoti Shivratri bahirmukha. Sauro va, a person may be a worshipper of the sun god. Vaishnavo va anyo, or somebody may be a worshipper of Lord Vishnu. Devatantara pujakah, or may be a worshipper of another demigod or any other god. Na puja phalam apnoti, such a person does not attain the fruit of his worship. Shivratri bahirmukha, if such a person is neglectful or purposely avoids Shivratri. So, dear devotees, here we have to understand that the first verse which he spoke, that it is not compulsory, that verse is very important because that makes this vow of Shivratri optional for us. But still, he is tending to lean in the direction of executing the vow. And because he is tending to lean in that direction, therefore he is giving so many pramanas which support the vow. Now, next he says, Kincha tad idam audasye dushanam. Now, there is a fault in neglecting Shivratri. Dveshe tu kaurme bhrigvadin prati swayam bhagavata uktam. In the Kurma Purana, the Lord himself, Lord Vishnu himself, speaks to Bhrigu and other disciples of Bhrigu about not executing Shivratri and of being envious of Lord Shiva. So he says, this is a verse from the Kurma Purana. The Lord himself is saying, Parat parataram yanti narayana parayana nate tatra gamishyanti yedvishanti maheshwaram. Parat parataram yanti, Narayana Parayana, those who are single-pointedly dedicated to Lord Narayana. They attain the highest amongst the highest abodes, the highest of all abodes. There's no doubt about it. But na te tatra gamishyanti, but such people also cannot attain that abode if ye dvishanti Maheshwaram, if they are envious of Lord Maheshwar, Lord Shiva. Another verse from the same Urma Purana. Yomam samarchayen nityam ekantam bhavam ashritah vinindan devamishanam sayati narakayutam. So, yomam samarchayen nityam. A person who worships me constantly, ekantam bhavam ashritah, with one-pointed mentality. But vinindan devamishanam, as soon as he criticizes, begins his criticism of Lord Shiva, sayati narakayutam, he plunges himself into millions of hellish planets. Then Gopal Bhatt Goswami says, anyatracha, and in other places, madbhaktah shankaradveshi madveshi shankara priyah ubhautau narakam yatau yavat chandra divakarau. Mad bhaktaha shankara dveshi, if there is some devotee of mine who is envious of Lord Shiva, or madveshi shankara priyah, or if there is somebody who is dear to Lord Shiva, who is a devotee of Shiva but envious of me, both categories of people, ubhautau narakam yatau, both of them attain hell. Yavat chandra divakarau, as long as the sun and moon are rising in the sky. So dear devotees, we have to understand that these verses are giving a warning, especially to those who have even a tinge of enviousness towards Lord Shiva within their minds or hearts. If a person doesn't want to execute the vow of Shivratri, that's okay. For a Vaishnava, he has already said, yadyapi avashyakam nahi. It is not compulsory for a Vaishnava. But if somebody doesn't execute the vow, and on top of that, they are also envious of Lord Shiva, for such people, it should be understood that it is a very severe offense. Now, there is a commentary written on this section by Sri Sanatana Goswami. Now, what does Sri Sanatana Goswami say in this section? Sri Sanatana Goswami very clearly mentions one thing. He says that in the nam aparadhas, in the offenses towards the holy name, there is one aparadha which says Shri Shivasya Shri Vishnurya Iha Gudanamadi Sakalam Dhya Bhinnam Pashyet. So there is a term there which says Dhya Bhinnam, which means that through one's intelligence, one sees some difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Such a person becomes a Naam Aparadhi, or an offender to the holy name. But this term Dhiya Bhinnam, Dhiya means through one's intelligence, and Bhinnam means one sees a difference. But this term Dhiya Bhinnam can also break down as Dhiya Abhinnam. The A is silent there. So somebody can break this down, Dhiya Bhinnam, as one who sees, one who perceives Lord Shiva to be completely different. And somebody may interpret it as one who perceives Lord Shiva to be completely one with Vishnu. In both cases, one can become a Nama Paradi. So therefore, in our list of Nama Parads, when we translate this offense, we clearly say that person becomes an offender who sees Lord Shiva as completely different or completely one with Lord Vishnu. Both categories of people, both extremes of people are offenders unto holy name, because this Dhiya Bhinnam can break down as Dhiya plus Bhinnam, or it can break down as Dhiya plus Abhinnam. In both cases, both extremes, one becomes an offender. So Sri Sanatan Goswami has explained this Siddhanta, and because of Sri Sanatan Goswami we have imbibed this understanding in our society ISKCON. The exact words of Sri Sanatan Goswami are Ato Atra Ayam Siddhanta. Therefore, since there are two interpretations of Dhiya Bhinnam, so I am giving the Siddhanta or the conclusion. Shri Vishnu Reko Devah Shivas Chanyo Deva. Somebody who thinks that Vishnu is one God and Shiva is a completely different God. Ityeva manyatve bhasamane tan namaskaritikam vaishnavanam ayuktameva. And one who thinks that because Shiva is a completely different God who has no relationship to Lord Vishnu, therefore the Vaishnava should not pay obeisances to him. Such a person will definitely become an offender. And also the person who thinks that they are completely one, that person will also become an offender. But Sri Sanatana Goswami says, Kintu, but who will not become an offender? Yatha Matsyadayo Leela Avataras Tatha Shri Shivascha Guna Avataro. So just like Matsya, Kurma, etc. are Leela Avatars of the Lord, similarly, he who sees Shri Shiva, Lord Shiva, as a Guna Avatar or as an incarnation of the Lord in the material world, who has accepted the material modes, that is known as Guna Avatar. I am iti abhedena na doshavaham api tu guna eva. He says, in this way, seeing simultaneous similarity and difference will not lead to a fault. But actually, it is a very good quality to perceive Lord Shiva in this way. So, this is the conclusion given by Sri Sanatana Goswami in this regard. Now, he has given... Now, coming back to Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are some verses which also specify the absolute oneness between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. So, these verses have to be also harmonized with verses which specify the difference. So, Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami first gives a verse which specifies absolute non-difference. But at the same time, there is some difference. So there is a verse which he is quoting from Hayashirsha Pancharatra. So in Hayashirsha Pancharatra, he says, Shri Harihara Pratishthayam Shri Bhagavatai Vauktam. So Lord Vishnu himself is saying, making this statement in Hayashirsha Pancharatra in regards to establishing a deity of Harihara. Sometimes in some temples in India, we might have seen a deity of Harihara. Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu combined into one. For example, in Bhubaneswar, in Odisha, in Bhubaneswar, there is a deity of Lingaraj. Now, Lingaraj Mahadev is Harihar. Harihar means is a combined form of Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. So, in this regard, about this deity, about Harihar deity, Lord Vishnu makes a statement in Hayashirsha Pancharatra. Now, dear devotees, we should remember, this is a statement made by emphasizing non-difference. So we have to reconcile it with statements which emphasize some difference too. The statement is as follows. Yah Shiva soham eveha yoham sa bhagavan Shiva navayorantaram kinchid akashanilayoriva. The Lord is saying, Yah Shiva so aham eve. He who is Shiva is actually me. Yo aham sa bhagavan Shiva. And he who is me is actually Bhagavan Shiva. Na avayor antaram kinchit. There is no difference between both of us. Kinchit, not even a tiny difference. And he gives an analogy to explain this non-difference. He says, akasha nilayoriva. Just as there is no difference between the sky and the wind in the sky. Now, of course, there is no difference between the sky and the wind. At the same time, there is some difference. Because the sky is the container and the wind is the contained. Similarly, although there is no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva, at the same time there is some difference because Lord Vishnu is the avatari or the source of the incarnation. Lord Shiva is the guna avatar or he who has incarnated from there. Then he quotes other verses also. And he says, Bhavrcha Parishishte. Bhavrcha Parishishte. Now, Bhavrcha Parishishte is the name of a literature. Bhavrcha means there are some additional verses from the Rig Veda compiled in a particular literature that Bahuvrucha Parishishte it is given. Shivaya Vishnu Rupaya Shivarupaya Vishnave Shivasya Hridayam Vishnur Vishnostu Hridayam Shivah. Shivaya Vishnu Rupaya, obeisances to Lord Shiva, who is actually a form of Vishnu. Shivarupaya Vishnave, obeisances to Lord Vishnu, who is actually a form of Shiva. Shivasya Hridayam Vishnur, the heart of Lord Shiva is none other than Lord Vishnu. Vishnostu Hridayam Shiva, and the heart of Lord Vishnu is none other than Lord Shiva. So verses like these are emphasizing the non-difference aspect between Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. But this does not mean that we should consider both of them to be absolutely one without any difference. We should understand that they are one, and at the same time, Lord Shiva is a guna avatar, Lord Vishnu is the avatari. The source of the incarnation is Lord Vishnu, and the incarnation in the material world who has accepted the modes of material nature is Lord Shiva. Another verse emphasizing difference. Yatha Shivamayo Vishnur Evam Vishnumayah Shivah Yathantaram na pashyami Tathame swastirayushah. Yatha Shivamayo Vishnur, Vishnu is replete with Shiva. Evam Vishnumayah Shivah, and Shiva is replete with Vishnu. Yatha antaram na pashyami, I do not see a difference between them. Tathame swastirayushah. May my entire life be filled with auspiciousness due to this understanding. So, now he concludes this section, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami says, Karyam gunavataratve naikyadrudrasya vaishnavai vaishnavagretaya shrestyat sadacharachatadvratam. Now, he concludes by saying this thing, that since Lord Shiva is guna avatar of Lord Vishnu, in that aspect he is one with Lord Vishnu. So due to that, the Vaishnava should seriously think about executing the vow of Shivaratri. Now, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami also knows that there are some Vaishnavas who are a little hesitant of executing this vow. And these Vaishnavas existed also at the time of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So he is explaining very clearly who are these Vaishnavas and what is the reason as to why they are not executing this vow. So he says, Chaturtha skandha drishtyatu naike kurvanti tadvratam. Because of a statement in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many who are not executing this vow of Shivaratri. Now, which statement? So, there is a verse in the fourth canto, second chapter, verse number 28, 4 to 28, which is describing a curse which Bhrigu Muni gave to Lord Shiva. This is described in 4 to 28. Now, some Vaishnavas have heard of this curse that Bhrigu Muni gave to Lord Shiva. And because of hearing of this curse, they are not inclined to execute the vow of Shivaratri. Which verse is that? Bhava vratadhara ye cha tan samanubrata paashandinaste bhavantu sachastra paripanthinah. So, Bhrigu Muni says, one who takes a vow to satisfy Lord Shiva, bhava vrata dhara yecha, those who are executing vows of Lord Shiva, yecha tan samanuvrataha, and those who are following in the footsteps of such people, paashindanaste bhavantu, may all of them become paashindis or atheists, pretenders. Satchastra paripanthinaha, and may they become paripanthis, may they become diverted, deviated from satchastra, from bona fide literature. This is the curse given by Bhrigu Muni to Lord Shiva's followers. Actually, he was cursing Lord Shiva, but the best way to curse someone is to curse their followers, so that nobody will become their follower. So this is Bhrigu Muni's curse in the fourth canto. And Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami quotes this in the 14th vilas, 14th chapter of Haribhakti Vilas, verse number 197. He is quoting this exact verse and saying that because of this, some Vaishnavas are hesitant in executing this particular vow. So the conclusion here is that a person can execute this vow, or a Vaishnava can execute this vow, or they may not want to execute this vow. It is purely up to that particular devotee. Now, there is a curse given by Bhrigu Muni in 4th canto, 2nd chapter, 28th verse. So, this curse also has to be understood, because the exact words is Bhava Vrata Dharayecha, those who take a vow to satisfy Lord Shiva. Ye chatan samanuvrata, and those who try to follow in those footsteps. So in this regard, one should understand one thing, that somebody who thinks Lord Shiva to be an independent God, independent of Lord Vishnu, those particular persons will become atheists. Not those who consider him to be a guna avatar of Lord Vishnu. Because this very verse 4-28, where Bhrigu Muni is cursing, the commentators have explained in detail who are the people. The commentator Vamshidhar says, Bhavasya Vratam Niyamo, somebody who takes an exclusive vow to satisfy Lord Shiva, and he is not respecting Lord Vishnu. And what types of vows does such a person take? Jata Bhasma Asthi Adi Dharanam. Matted locks, wearing matted locks. Bhasma is wearing ashes on his body. Asthi is wearing bones on his body. Dharanam. Tad Dharino Ye Pashupata. So he is speaking about those who are followers of the Pashupat sect. These followers of Pashupat sect, they will become Pakhandis or Pashandis. They will become deviated from the actual Vedic path. So this is how the commentators have explained. So, in this way, a Vaishnav does not fear, even if they want to execute the vow of Lord Shiva, Shivratri, they do not fear, because Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami has clearly said that Sri Krishna Pritaye, all vows can be taken to satisfy Lord Krishna. And the biggest example of this, is seen in Krishna Lila itself. Because in Krishna Lila, in the 10th canto, chapter number 34, there is the pastime of Nanda Maharaj and all the gopas and gopis going to Ambikavan. Now, some of us might have heard of this pastime in the 10th canto, 34th chapter. So, Nanda Maharaj, he went to Ambikavan. And when he went to Ambikavan, there was one purpose for going to Ambikavan. So, what is the purpose of going to Ambikavan? So, that's given in the very first verse of the 34th chapter, where Shukadeva Goswami says, Ekada Deva Yatrayam Gopala Jata Kautukah Anobhir Anadudyuktai Prayayuste Ambikavanam. So the translation says that one day the cowherd men, eager to take a trip to worship Lord Shiva, travelled by bullock carts to Ambika forest. So here Nanda Maharaj himself is travelling to Ambikavan in order to execute a vow to satisfy Lord Shiva. So which vow? It's the exact same vow which is going to come in 2 days, Mahashivratri. So after 2 days, in our minds, we should relive this past time of Nanda Maharaj traveling to Ambikavan in order to satisfy Lord Shiva. And in order to satisfy Lord Shiva, what does he do? So the very next verse says, Tatra snatva sarasvatyam devam pashupatim vibhum anarchur arhanair bhaktya devim chandripatim vikam. So Shukadeva Goswami says, O Parikshit, after arriving there, they bathed in the Saraswati and then devotedly worshipped with various paraphernalia the powerful Lord Pashupati and his consort goddess Ambika. And how did they worship? So the next verse says that they gave many gifts of gold, clothing, cooked grains mixed with honey and cows to the various brahmanas in Ambikavan. And they requested the brahmanas, Devo Naha Priyatam, may Lord Shiva be pleased with us. And the next verse describes what vow Nanda Maharaj took. Usha Saraswati Tire Jalam Prashya Yathavratah Rajanim Tam Mahabhaga Nanda Sunanda Kadayah. Nanda, Sunanda and other greatly fortunate cowherds spent that night on the bank of the Saraswati, strictly observing their vows. They fasted, taking only water. So this is a clear proof, evidence, that the residents of Golok Vrindavan take vows to satisfy Lord Shiva. So we are the followers. We are Raga. We are supposed to be Raga Anugas. We are followers of the Ragatmika, or the perfected devotees of Lord Krishna in Golok Vrindavan. So if we go to Golok Vrindavan and everybody is going to Ambikavan, will we say, though, I don't want to go to Ambikavan because Lord Shiva is a demigod and I don't engage in demigod worship? So one has to understand this thing, that Lord Shiva is much above the status of a demigod. He is actually a guna avatar, an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. So he is not a demigod like Indra, Chandra, Vayu. He is not a demigod like that, because Indra, Chandra, Vayu, etc. are all Jiva Tattvas. Lord Shiva is not Jiva Tattva. As Sadashiv, he is not Jiva Tattva. Sometimes in this material world, a particular empowered living entity may take the post of Lord Shiva. But in Kailash Dham, which is above the Brahma Jyoti, in that Kailash Dham, Lord Shiva is not a Jiva Tattva. We have to understand this thing, that Nanda Maharaj also fasted for Shivaratri when they went to Ambikavan. So this Shivaratri is approaching in 2 days. So we can, those of us who have a family tradition of fasting, or those of us who wish to please Lord Krishna by this fasting on Shivaratri, for us there is also a window of opportunity. For those of us who do not prefer to fast on Shivaratri, for us also, what we can do is, we can read this section of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and at least try to relive those pastimes of Shivaratri which were executed by the Brajavasis in Sridham Vrindavan. I would like to conclude by speaking a verse that Shri Hari Suri specifies on this chapter, chapter number 34. So Shri Hari Suri at that point of time specifies what is the reason. There is one reason which Krishna has given in his heart as to why all of them went to Ambikavan. So Hari Suri, commenting on the first verse of this 34th chapter, says, Yastrinam Varadaba Bhuva Vihita Nangarchana Namapi Sasangarchanata Prasad Sumukhi Syadatrakah Samshaya Itham Nishchitavasana Vrajajana सर्वेऽपि साभ्यर्हणम् मन्यन्यान्यपहाय देव सदना न्यागुस्तदं भावनम्. So Hari Suri says, the Vrajavasis, especially the gopis, were thinking, this is Ambikavan. Ambikavan means the forest of Goddess Ambika, Goddess Durga. Ya strinam varada babhuva vihita nangarchananam api. She is that goddess who became very pleased with us even though we performed ananga archan, ananga puja. This word Hari Suri has used is a very tricky word. Yas trinam varada babhu. This goddess became pleased with us even though we performed ananga puja. What is the meaning of ananga puja? The first meaning of ananga puja is ananga puja, worship without the limbs of worship. Because there are many limbs of worship, such as offering a lamp, offering a fan. So when the gopis had worshipped Katyayani, they had performed such simple worship. They used to make a deity out of the sand, and they did not offer any angas or any limbs of puja. But that Katyayani, who is non different from none other than Durga, she became pleased. So this is the same goddess who became pleased with us through ananga puja, which means worship without angas or worship without limbs. The second meaning of ananga puja is she became pleased with us because of our ananga puja. Ananga is one name of Lord Krishna. Those of us who are chanting Kama Gayatri, the last Gayatri, we know that one of the names of Lord Krishna is Ananga. So this is the goddess who has become pleased with us through Ananga Puja. One meaning is worship without limbs of worship. Second meaning is worship of Lord Krishna, who is Cupid. So if she has become pleased with us through Ananga Puja, why will she not become pleased with us through Anga Puja? If we have Angas with us, why will she not become pleased? Definitely she will become pleased. Now, here also Hari Suri has displayed his expertise. Because Anga is also a name of Lord Krishna in the Vishnu Sahasranama. So, one meaning of Sa Anga Puja is that worship with limbs. And another meaning of Sa Anga Puja is worship along with Lord Krishna. This time we are going along with Lord Krishna. Why will she not become pleased with us? Definitely she will become pleased with us. Previously we offered worship without limbs. This time we will offer worship with angas and also with our anga, that is Lord Krishna. Ittham nishchita vasana, because of this firm determination that they had, Vrajajana, all these Vrajavasis, sarve pi sabhyarhanam, they took all paraphernalia. Manye anyani apahaya deva sadanani, and instead of going to any other abode or any other temple of any other demigod, agustadam bhavanam, they straight away went to only one forest, and that was the forest of Goddess Ambika and Lord Shiva. So dear devotees, this is one chapter where this wonderful commentator gets to glorify Lord Shiva, and he has written various verses in glorification of Lord Shiva also. So in this chapter of going to Ambikavan, that night when Nanda Maharaj is taking rest after, you know, when he's fasting and taking rest, a big snake comes and tries to swallow Nanda Maharaj. He tries to swallow Nanda Maharaj's foot, but Nanda Maharaj is crying out loudly to Krishna for help. Krishna quickly comes and touches the snake, steps on the snake with his foot. And at that time, the snake is liberated from his snake body, and he reveals that he was a Vidyadhar. So Hari Suri says, see, you might worship any god, and you might execute any vow, but when you are in difficulty, only Lord Krishna will be able to help you in the end. So thank you, dear devotees, for kindly giving me the most important resource of your life, which is your time. I am very indebted for your kind attention, and I am thankful once again to Shyama Gauri Mataji, who kindly invited me to speak on this Bhakti Sangha Japa group. My best wishes to all of you, dear devotees, for the upcoming festival of Mahashivratri. May this marriage of Lord Shiva with Parvati Devi bring auspiciousness for all of you, dear devotees, in your spiritual lives, and may this year be full of joyous bhajan and seva for all of you. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Hare. Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very wonderful class with references from so many Acharya's books. So, Prabhuji, my question is, in the chapter 34 of Krishna book, Vidyadhara liberated and the demon Shankarchuda killed. Srila Prabhupada writes that between the Dole Yatra ceremony and the Rasalila ceremony, there is an important ceremony called Shivratri, which is especially observed by the Shaivites or devotees of Lord Shiva. Sometimes the Vaishnavas also observe this ceremony because they accept Lord Shiva as the foremost Vaishnava. Is not observed very regularly by the bhaktas or devotees of Krishna. Under the circumstances, Srimad Bhagavatam states that Nanda Maharaja and other cowherd men once upon a time desired, which is within quotes. This means that they were not regularly observing the Shivratri function, but that once upon a time they wanted to go to Ambikavana out of curiosity. Then he goes on to explain Ambikavana and other things. So it's mentioned here that, of course, you know, there are, it's not regularly observed. So I was wondering that, as you mentioned, that Ragatmika devotees, they do that. So can you explain more? And also our Vaishnava calendar doesn't say fasting on this. And Srila Prabhupada, I don't know what was his instruction specifically on this.
Right.
So this leads to confusion, right? Like, we want to honor Shiva as a foremost Vaishnava, but at the same time, we want to strictly follow the Acharyas and especially, you know, the calendar, Vaishnava calendar and Srila Prabhupada. So what are we to do now?
Yeah. So the thing is, I am also in a dilemma, because if I say that one should not observe Shivratri, then I will fall in the category of the person who is speaking against Hari Bhakti Vilas. Because I spoke exactly what is given in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. I quoted the exact verses where it is said that yadyapi avashyakam nahi. It is not compulsory. But it also says Vaishnavairapi tatkaryam Shri Krishna Pritaye Sada. But if the motivation of the devotee is that they wish to attain love unto Lord Krishna by observing this ceremony, then definitely they can execute this vow. So for me, for any Acharya, to say, to completely deny Shivratri is difficult, because Lord Shiva is an inseparable part of Golok Vrindavan too. So for this reason, the Acharyas have left it up to the individual devotee. If they can perceive their relationship with Lord Krishna getting strengthened due to the execution of this vow, then for those individuals, Srila Prabhupada is saying that sometimes the Vaishnavas also observe this ceremony because they accept Lord Shiva as the foremost Krishna. So if the devotees see in that way, and as Hari Bhakti Vilas says, that because the Vaishnavas accept Lord Shiva as a guna avatar of Lord Vishnu, so if we accept him as a guna avatar, so in that way the devotees can execute that vow. But at the same time, I also spoke of that verse in the fourth canto, which is like a warning, because Bhrigu Muni has also given a curse. So in some cases in Shastra, it is left up to the individual. Why is it left up to the individual? Because it is up to their Shraddha. their faith in that particular deity. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has says, na buddhi bhedam janayat. One should not try to purposefully destroy the understanding or the faith of somebody else in a particular deity. So for this reason, I cannot say a no, because I don't want to be a buddhi bhedi or a person who destroys the faith of somebody else in Lord Shiva. Certainly, Lord Shiva, I personally have a very deep connection with Lord Shiva, because in my childhood I have studied Sanskrit grammar from the school of Lord Shiva. So certainly I cannot speak against him, but what I would say is, it is not compulsory for the Vaishnavas. But if they don't want to observe the festival, at least they should try to offer some prayers, because Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written very beautiful prayer for Lord Shiva. So they can try to find that prayer. They can try to sing that prayer for Lord Shiva. In that way, they will not become like a very dedicated follower of Lord Shiva, but at the same time, they will give respect to Lord Shiva. So I think it should be left up to the individual faith of that devotee. And for this reason, Prabhupada also has said that sometimes Vaishnavas also observe this ceremony. Now, Prabhupada doesn't call those Vaishnavas non-bona fide. So the reason why Prabhupada says this is because those Vaishnavas have a very firm understanding of who Lord Shiva is. So if somebody has a firm understanding, somebody understands what they are doing, and it is not going to deviate them from the path of Krishna Bhakti, then such observance of Shivaratri is encouraged in Hari Bhakti. That is all I can say at this point of time.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So, in the case, since it's left to the individuals, and if the individual want to do this, especially, you know, Vaishnavas, what are they supposed to do? Is there any information on this?
So at least in our society, there is no standard procedure to observe Shivaratri. But if somebody wants to do something very basic for Lord Shiva, what they can do is, they can offer Lord Shiva some special prasadam. First, they can cook something nice and offer it to Lord Krishna, and that special prasadam can be offered to Lord Shiva, and that prasadam can be taken as Vaishnava prasadam, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted the prasad of Lord Shiva when he went to Lingaraj temple in Bhubaneswar. So we can accept that prasadam as the remnants of the greatest Vaishnava in this universe. So this is something which the devotees can do for satisfying Lord Shiva. Now, if there is some family tradition, if somebody has a family tradition of fasting for Shivaratri, so in Bhagavad Gita it is said, Loka Sangraha. One should try to preserve the family tradition, because that family tradition has been coming down since thousands of generations, and the forefathers expect the next generation to continue the family tradition. So if somebody has a family tradition of fasting, so keeping in mind that family tradition, one can try to fast as Nanda Maharaj has fasted. But that is only in case somebody has a family tradition. If somebody doesn't have a family tradition, then at least they can try to cook something special for Lord Shiva and first offer it to Lord Krishna, and then give the prasad to Lord Shiva, and then accept that as the remnants of a Vaishnava. That is what I can suggest for our society.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. I have some more questions, but if anyone go ahead, they can.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances, and very, very grateful to you for the very wonderful class. There is one online question which I would like to read. The question is, when you were speaking about Harihara worship, saying that both Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu in one sense are equal, but yet they are different. What is your comment about the Trimurti worship relating to Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, since all three are Gunavatars? If Shiva is a Gunavatar, Brahma also is a Gunavatar. So what is the comment on Trimurti worship?
Okay, so what is my comment on Trimurti Vishnu? My specific comment is that whatever we should speak should be right there in the Shastra. So what I want to do is I want to speak something from Shastra, because without speaking from Shastra, it becomes a mental speculation. So what I would like to say is that in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, Sri Shukadeva Goswami specifies that even if sometimes we have Trimurti, sometimes Dattatreya is shown as Trimurti. So he is shown having the heads of Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. So sometimes we see such deities in India. So how should we approach these deities? So we should understand it according to how it is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Where is it given in Srimad Bhagavatam? So I will mention the references, the verse number, and I will speak the verse number. And these references can be taken by us devotees as understanding of Trimurti Tattva. So this is given in 10th canto, 88th chapter. Lord Shiva saved from Vrikasura, third verse. So 10.88.3. So Shri Shuka Uvacha, Shukadeva Goswami says, Shivaha Shakti Yutaha Shashvat Trilingo Guna Samvritaha Vaikarikas Taijasascha Tamasaschetyaham Tridha. So Shukadeva Goswami says, Lord Shiva is always united with his personal energy, the material nature. So this is very clearly it is said that Shivaha Shakti Yutaha Shashvat, Lord Shiva is always entangled in the material nature. The same is the case with Lord Brahma also. Now, the same chapter, I was speaking from verse number 3 right now, same chapter verse number 5 says, Harir hi nirgunah sakshat purushah prakritih parah. But Lord Vishnu, Lord Hari is nirgunah, beyond material modes. Sakshat purushah, he is directly the controlling personality, prakritih parah, beyond the material energy. So it's very clearly mentioned in 10.88.3 and 10.88.5 that in Trimurti, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are under the grips of the material nature, whereas Harir hi nirgunah sakshat, that Lord Vishnu is completely transcendental to material nature, even though he appears sometimes with Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Still, he is nirguna. Nirguna means he does not have any tinge of material nature within him. So, through this pramana in Srimad Bhagavatam, one should understand that Lord Vishnu is transcendental to the modes of nature, whereas Lord Shiva and Brahma are under the grips of material nature. This is our understanding.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Prabhuji, I think the question was more on when we can accept, like you gave the example of the sky and the wind. Sky is the container, wind is the thing.
Contained.
Contained. And similarly, we give the example of milk yogurt like that. So we see the equality and the non-difference in both Shiva and Vishnu. So I think we were reading some verses on the worship of Harihara. So like that, now Brahma also comes into the picture. If Brahma also comes into this picture, then is the worship bona fide?
Okay, very nice. If Brahma also comes into the picture and it becomes Trimurti, so does that worship become bona fide?
Yes.
So this answer also I would like to support by giving Shastra Praman, because nothing should be said ideally without giving Shastra Praman. So Srila Jiva Goswami has specified that there are certain individuals who worship these three into one murti. Actually, the only case which I have seen where these three combine is in Dattatreya. And I think you might have seen a painting of Dattatreya where all these three are combined together. So, Sri Jiva Goswami says that Dattatreya Upasakanam Pashandina. He says that the followers of Dattatreya, those who are worshipping Dattatreya, are actually Pashandis. So, he very, very clearly says that those who are worshippers of Dattatreya, they are Pashandis. Now, I would like to specify this, where he says this. So he says this in Bhakti Sandarbha. Where does he say this in Bhakti Sandarbha? He says this in Bhakti Sandarbha in the section where Naam Aparadhas are being discussed. So this is Anuchhed, section 264 of Bhakti Sandarbha. So he is discussing the Naam Aparadha section, and there in that Naam Aparadha section, he says this thing, that there are followers of Dattatreya, they are followers of Rishabhdev. These all personalities are engaging in Shruti Shastra Nindanam. They are engaging in the offense of blaspheming Vedic literature. So he says, Yatha Pashanda Margena Dattatreya Rishabhadevo Pasakanam Pashandena. He says that these people who see the three forms together as Dattatreya, these people are termed by Jiva Goswami as Pashandis, or those who have deviated from the Vedic path. So since I have seen the three forms combined only in one personality, which is Dattatreya, and since your question is about worship of such forms, so I would like to say very clearly, categorically, that Srila Jiva Goswami has termed such worship as non-bona fide in his Bhakti Sandarbha. So worship is non-bona fide does not mean that Dattatreya is non-bona fide. This should be carefully noted. The worship of Dattatreya is non-bona fide. The worship of Rishabhdev is non-bona fide. But Dattatreya and Rishabhdev, they are not non-bona fide.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for very beautiful clarifications. And thanks for the wonderful class as always. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Prana. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much for clarifying all the doubts about Lord Shiva and the mood, how to approach Lord Shiva, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavad. Go ahead, Mataji.
Prabhuji, I have some more questions which I want to personally discuss with you. Maybe it will take a long time. Is it okay if I can call you sometime, Prabhuji?
Yeah, sure. I'm Mataji, your good name?
Lalita Angirada Devi Dasi.
Okay, Mataji. So, yeah, you can, maybe you can later call or email me, and then accordingly we can discuss.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dharvat Pranam. Prabhuji, I had a similar question too, in the same lines as what the other Matajis had. You had mentioned that Nanda Maharaj, he personally, he worshipped in Ambikavan. And also we see the example of Katyayani Vrata. So the Vishnu devotees, they also sometimes desire to worship these forms. So does that actually happen at the, at the Goloka level, or is it only happening, on earthly pastimes? How does it work, Prabhuji?
Okay, so does it also happen in, does all such worship also take place in Goloka Vrindavan, or does such worship take place only on planet Earth? So in Goloka Vrindavan also, there are various deities. There is Gopishwar Mahadev, there is Vrinda Devi, there is Yamuna, there is Govardhan, there are so many personalities. Some are Shakti Tattva, some are Vishnu Tattva, and there is also Lord Shiva, so there is Shiva Tattva. So Golok Vrindavan is also a place where not only Lord Krishna, but all those who are related to Krishna are also worshipped. So we should understand this fact, and gradually, as we start our journey towards Golok Vrindavan in this life, we have to become comfortable with this fact, because I also understand that many of us have started our spiritual life by thinking that we are worshippers of Krishna alone and we don't have to worship anybody else. So gradually our understanding has to be modified a little bit, that we are worshippers of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but at the same time we also have to worship others, those who are related to Krishna, even though they may not be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This slight modification of understanding is the maturity which is required for a devotee to progress ahead.
That actually clarifies quite a lot of my questions I had, Prabhuji, because even yesterday we were listening to a Brihad Bhagavatamrita reading in which Srila Sanatana Goswami, he says that according as the mood of the devotee, you know, various forms of Krishna are present in the Vaikuntha planets to actually satisfy the devotee. So my the question I had was, what if you know, a devotee is attracted to the Sadashiva form or the Shiva form, understanding fully well that he is you know, a guna manifestation of Lord Krishna? There could be a devotee who does that, and Sanatan Goswami had mentioned that you know, satisfies each devotee according as his desire. So that's where I had this question from, Prabhuji.
Okay, can you repeat?
Okay. So I hope that your query was answered.
Thanks so much, Prabhuji. I really appreciate your answers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Okay, okay, okay.
Prabhuji, there's another online question. The question is, also, why do they stay awake all night for Shivaratri? If Lord Shiva is the precise... Is it Lord Shiva is the presiding deity of mode of ignorance?
Yeah, so Lord Shiva is the presiding deity of the mode of ignorance. But this does not mean that Lord Shiva is always overcome with ignorance. When somebody is the presiding deity of a particular mode, then it means that they are controlling that mode. And this does not mean that they are consumed by that mode. So Lord Shiva is the controller of that mode. Sometimes he may get affected by that mode, but does not mean that he is fully overcome by that mode at all points of time. So Lord, if we see Lord Shiva, most of the time he is meditating on Lord Vishnu and chanting the names of Lord Ram. So this is certainly not a symptom of the mode of ignorance. So one should understand that even though Lord Shiva is the controller of the mode of ignorance, he is not always consumed or overcome by that specific mode. And he, in most cases, he is controlling that mode. Just as Lord Brahma is the controller of the predominant controller of the mode of passion, but does not mean that he is always overcome by that mode of passion. Sometimes he does get overcome, but that's not always. So why do we fast overnight? Because that's what we are supposed to do also for Lord Vishnu on Ekadashi. If we see the rules of Ekadashi, the actual rules of Ekadashi, given in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it also prescribes that one should stay awake for the entire night and subsist only on water, fruits, roots, and so on. So whatever rules are applicable for Ekadashi are also applicable for Shivratri. So that is the simple reason why this overnight fasting and waking up has been specified in Shastra.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Bhagavat Pranam. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class and much needed class, I should say, because I've seen that mostly the devotees are the ones who really discriminate this worship of Lord Shiva and other demigods, and they make the most of offenses. But thank you for clarifying this. I just have one question, Prabhu. How do we keep fast? If there are no fast such family traditions, then how the Vaishnavas should keep the fast is just like till 12 or like till noon, and then after that, regular prasadam, ekadashi prasadam, if you can just a little bit.
Just explain about it. Okay. So if somebody does not have a family tradition of fasting on Lord Shiva, how should they keep the fast? So in such a situation, if there is no family tradition, so one cannot make a new family tradition, because family tradition is carried down since the beginning of creation in the respective families. If one does not have a family tradition, then one can, therefore I suggested that one can instead cook something special for Lord Shiva. Now, if they can cook something special for Lord Shiva, first offer it to Lord Krishna and then accept it as Vaishnava Prasadam. because actually the fasting, I cannot say it should be done only till noon or something like that. It is to be done for the entire night. Therefore, it is called Shivratri, the night of Lord Shiva. So one cannot break the fast in afternoon or in evening. So it is supposed to be done for the entire night. Now, since that will not be recommended for those who don't have that in their family tradition, and it is not also a part of the ISKCON tradition, so what I suggest is that one can simply offer some prasadam to Lord Shiva, and that prasad should be very specially cooked. It can be anna prasad also. No need of ekadashi prasad. It can be anna prasad also. But one can do something special for him, sing an ashtakam for him. Because vrata does not only mean a vow of fasting. Vrata also means a vow of satisfying him. We should all try to satisfy him on that day. Because this is our duty as Vaishnavas, to acknowledge and respect the other Vaishnavas who are superior to us. So this is what we can do. That is my suggestion for somebody who doesn't have a family tradition.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for a wonderful class and understandings about Lord Shiva. I had one question, slightly extending previous questions. Hope you don't mind. The question
yes,
is about... Yeah, sure. Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, basically, we hear about how Shastra is definitely the important praman for our understandings and applications in our life, in devotional life. Or we also need to consult Guru and Sadhu, like that. That is one thing I heard in the past. And second thing we know from Nectar of Instruction, verse number 2 or 3, I think, verse number 3, the principle of Satovrite, that means following in the... following as per the previous acharyas, how they did in their footsteps, not imitating
right.
them. Yeah, like that also we hear. So, thinking about those only, I'm asking this question. So, should we try to understand what did our acharyas do in terms of following in their own life for Shivratri and try to use that in any way or not at all? That will come into imitation like that, yeah. And I do not know about
acharyas
also, how did they
do
that also?
Okay, very nice. So I'll rephrase your question, because Nectar of Instruction says Satovritti. So, and this is also specified in Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam. This is one of the 64 limbs of Bhakti, following in the footsteps of the previous sadhus, great sadhus. Should we try to do that, or should we not try to do that, or is it imitation or something? I hope this is the question you wish to ask, Prabhu.
Yeah, that is the question. And also, in connection with Shivratri, should we try to look for that or not?
So, what I wish to say in this regard, Prabhu, is what the sadhus want from us has already been specified in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, both options have been specified. And Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami has clearly said some Vaishnavas don't do it because of the curse of Bhrigu Muni given in the fourth canto. So when he said that some Vaishnavas don't do it, he is describing the situation which he found in his era 500 years ago. So he is specifying what the sadhus do at his time. So he is in that time also some sadhus are executing that vow, some sadhus are not executing that vow. So why are some sadhus executing that vow? They are executing because most likely, they have a family tradition or because they have been instructed by their gurus to do something like that. So if not that, then at least by considering Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava, one can always offer him some prasadam. This, there is no harm in doing this.
Yeah. Makes sense. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class. Prabhuji, when you say we can offer it to Shivji, so first, is the same plate that we offer to Krishna, we offer it to Shivji? That is one question. And also in the plates of Krishna, we put Tulsi Maharani. Do we offer the Tulsi Maharani as well from the same plate when we are offering to Shivji?
Okay, very nice. So Lord Shiva is a very organic Vaishnava, we can offer him in something. He likes to eat in organic plates. You know, so Lord Shiva likes to eat in plates which are made out of nature. He doesn't even have a home for himself. He's such a great Vaishnava. He builds homes. He ensures prosperity for all his followers. But he himself does not stay in a home. He himself ensures that all his followers have nice utensils. But he himself likes to eat in his own hands. Sometimes he likes to eat in the leaf cup plate. So we should have a leaf plate for Lord Shiva. Because he likes it very organic. And for him, we should have a leaf plate. And from the Lord's plate, we should transfer it to a leaf plate. And the tulsi should be kept as it is and offered to him. Because that tulsi is now a prasad, which he would like to definitely have.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So we offer first to Krishna, as we do every day, and then transfer the same thing to a leaf plate for Lord Shiva. In front of whatever picture or whatever form linga we have, we can do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. This was such a wonderful class, and I especially like when you get a lot of information from different scriptures to give us more details about the topic of interest. So thank you so much, Prabhu. As usual, it's one of the class. Anybody else have any more questions for Prabhuji at this point?
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your very, very informative class, Prabhuji. For your association with Chinese.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, fasting is on 21st or 22nd?
22nd is Shivratri. And if somebody has fasting in their family tradition, that is 22nd.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Sorry. Go ahead, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I have one small question, Prabhu. So, he's not late, right, Prabhu?
No, it's not late. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Prabhu, actually, we are following the Gita and then Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we say that the Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So that the followers of Lord Shiva,
is there any scripture
that Lord Shiva is the Supreme Lord like that?
Yes. There are many scriptures which say that Lord Shiva is the Supreme Lord. But those scriptures have been compiled by Vyasadeva for those who are followers of Lord Shiva. For example, Shiva Puran, Linga Puran, they are proclaiming Lord Shiva as the Supreme Lord. And they are saying that Brahma and Vishnu are subordinate to Lord Shiva. So those scriptures were written by compiled by Vyasadeva for followers of Lord Shiva. But Narad Muni later told Vyasadeva that this was all a mistake because you should have directly glorified Lord Krishna. And that was the reason why Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled at the end.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I have one question about the offense, the second offense. Actually, you quoted the Haribhakt Vilas, Diya Bhinnam. It can be taken in two ways, like that you explained nicely, but I still have that question. Because the translation I have memorized and I've been hearing in temple, ISKCON temples, goes like this. To consider the names of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. That's how I heard the translation so far. So, and that is emphasizing only the one aspect, which is, it is my understanding, is that is emphasizing only the equal aspect. We should not see like that.
Okay.
But it's not emphasizing that we should not see the other way, opposite way.
Yeah. So I would like to say here very categorically that there is some issue in the translation, because the translation mentions Brahma. But the original verse, which has the Naam Aparad, it says Shivasya Shri Vishnu Riha. The original verse only says Shiva and Vishnu. The original Sanskrit verse of the Naam Aparad is only specifying a comparison between Lord Shiva and Vishnu. So if Lord Brahma has been introduced in the translation, then that is not in the original Sanskrit. So that is a topic of research. So somebody should research and report this thing, that Lord Brahma's name is not there in the original list of Namaparads in the Sanskrit. Second thing is, the translation says to be, he who considers the Lord Shiva's names and Lord Vishnu's names to be completely independent, or completely independent, or what was that again?
Equal to or independent of the Lord Vishnu, yeah.
So completely equal. So if they consider completely equal, which means there is absolutely no difference between Shiva and Vishnu, then that's also an offense. And then completely independent, which means they're totally different entities who have no relation to each other, that's also an offense. So both extremes are an offense. The translation is correct in that regard.
Oh, okay, got you. Sure, thank you so much, Prabhu. Yeah.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So what is the difference? What is the difference between Rudra, Mahesh, Sadashiv, Shiva?
Okay, if you wish to know the exact differences between Rudra, Shiva, Sadashiv, Mahesh, so those differences are given in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So if you wish, I could speak something from Laghu Bhagavatamritam also, but I don't know how much time I have, because there is a detailed discussion on Lord Shiva in the Laghu Bhagavatamritam. So if you want, I can speak something about it, but I don't know, maybe Lalita Mataji can tell me how much time I have.
You can speak 10 minutes from.
Okay. So in Laghu Bhagavatamritam, Shiva Tattva has been explained. Laghu Bhagavatamrit, first chapter 1.26. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Rudra Ekadasha Vyuhas Tathashkatanurapyasau Prayah Panchananastriyaksho Dashabahuru Diryate. Lord Rudra, Shiva, has 11 manifestations. So, Ajaikapat, Ahirbudhnya, Virupaksh, Raivat, Har, Bahurup, Trembak, Savitra, Jayant, Pinaki, and Aparajit. And he has 8 deity forms also all around the universe. So, and usually he has 5 heads. So, the original is, according to Rupa Goswami, the original name is Rudra, and all others are expansions of Rudra. Now, there are total 8 murtis, or the 8 deities of Rudra in the universe. So what are the 8 deities? He says, Prithvi Salilam Tejo Vayur Akasham Evacha Surya Chandram Asav Soma Yaji Chetyashka Murtaya. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan has given the names of 8 deities of Lord Shiva. The one who is residing in earth, his name is Sharva. One who is residing in water, his name is Bhava. One who is residing in the fire element, his name is Ishan. One who is residing in the air element, his name is Pashupati. One who is residing in the sky element, his name is Bhima. So, and the original one who is residing in the sun element, his name is Rudra. Now, he is residing in the moon, his name is Mahadev. And finally, he also resides within the Brahmana who performs a Vedic sacrifice, his name is Ugra. There are 8 deity forms of Lord Rudra as specified. And this is all given in Laghu Bhagavatamritam. One should consult the commentary of Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan and the original text of Srila Rupa Goswami.
And Prabhu, what about Sadashiv?
Okay, so that is also specified in the Laghu Bhagavatamritam, where Srila Rupa Goswami says that Sadashivakhya Tanmurtis Tamogandha Vivarchita. So, in the spiritual world, just below Vaikuntha Dham is his form of Sadashiv, which is completely devoid of the modes of material nature. Which means that in the spiritual world, his form has no tinge of material nature, whereas when he appears in the material world, his form comes in contact with material nature. So that is what has been specified by Srila Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamritam. These exact words are Sada Shivakya Tanmurtis Tamo Gandha Vivarjita. Vivarjita, free of Tamo Gandha, even the slightest trace of the mode of ignorance. So that is Sadashiv in the spiritual world.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, I have one more question, Prabhu. In your class, I liked one aspect which is you were saying that how do we consider Lord Shiva as in one way equal to Krishna but not completely equal to Vishnu? That is because he is a gunavatar of Vishnu, That's what you were emphasizing. So I wanted to understand that in the contrast with Brahma, because we hear Lord Brahma is also gunavatar of Vishnu, in charge of mode of passion. However, we also hear that Brahma is jiva tattva, like that we hear sometimes, many times actually. Exactly. And then, so how do we consider, how do I appreciate that fact that Lord Shiva is equal in one sense to Vishnu because he is gunavatar, or some other way? What is the right way to understand that?
Very nice. So, between Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva is having a distinct speciality about him, that there is an abode of Lord Shiva in the spiritual world, whereas there is no abode of Lord Brahma in the spiritual world. Second thing, the analogy which Brahma Samhita gives, Kshiram Yatha Dadhi Vikara. So, Dadhi Vikara Vishesha Yoga. So, if milk comes into contact with some curd, that milk also starts transforming into curd. So, this is the analogy given, which means that the curd has its origin in the milk, which means that Lord Shiva has the original personality for him is Lord Krishna. Whereas for Brahma, Brahma is a jiv tattva. So Brahma, since Brahma is a jiv tattva, for this reason, Brahma is not in the same category as Lord Sadashiv, because Sadashiv is actually a modification of Vishnu tattva. So is not jiv tattva. But yes, Srila Rupa Goswami says, sometimes in the material world also, the Shiva who appears in the material world may be an empowered Jiva. But the Shiva who is there in the spiritual world, Sadashiva, is never Jiva Tattva. He is actually a transformation of Vishnu Tattva. So that is what is specified by Srila Rupa Goswami. Well, Brahma, he does not have an abode in the spiritual world. And Brahma specifically is Jiva Tattva. Sometimes when there is no jiva capable of taking on the position of Brahma, Lord Vishnu takes that position of himself. But usually Brahma is a jiva tattva, and Brahma does not have a separate tattva for himself in the spiritual world. That is the distinction between Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu. That's very clear. Thank you.
Okay.
So Prabhu, Sadashiva is a transformation of Vishnu, not the expansion of Vishnu.
Exactly. It's a transformation of Vishnu, but he is preparing himself to appear in the material world and come in contact with material nature. But still, as long as he is in the spiritual world, he is not contacted by material nature. Because in the spiritual world, material nature cannot enter. But as soon as he comes into the material world, he comes in direct contact with Maya. Whereas Lord Vishnu never likes a single direct contact with Maya. Never a direct contact. That is the important distinction between Vishnu and Lord Shiva.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hey Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions?
Prabhuji, I just have one question, Prabhuji, quickly. So, are there any devotees, you know, from a Brahma Matra Sampradaya who would like to, you know, see Lord Brahma as a preceptor or a guru and worship him in that fashion? I mean, would that be, you know...
Lord, somebody from Brahma Madhva Sampradaya who sees Brahma as what?
As a guru, Prabhuji, and we also say that, you know, a guru is a representative of the Lord Krishna. So like that, you know, in that mood, you know, if a devotee wants to worship Lord Brahma, I mean, is it, I mean, is it correct or is it not allowed or, I mean?
Yeah, okay. If somebody wishes to worship him as Acharya, there is no problem in worshipping him as an Acharya, as long as one understands that he belongs to the category of Jiva Tattva. In fact, in the Madhva Sampradaya, there is a common understanding that amongst all the Jiva Tattvas who are devotees of the Lord, Brahma is the highest in this universe. This is the understanding in the Madhva Sampradaya. Amongst all the Jiva Tattvas, who are devotees of the Lord, Brahma is the highest. So this is, in this way we can worship him. But there is only one temple of Brahma in the entirety of India that I have seen. That temple is in Pushkar. Because Brahma, there is some incident with Brahma because of which Brahma doesn't have temples built around him. I'll not get into that here.
Sure, Prabhuji. So, from what you're saying, am I right in understanding that, you know, if there are worshippers of Brahma or even other demigods, not like Shiva or Shakti Tattva, but other demigods, like, you know, some are worshippers of Ganesh, they strongly believe in Ganesh, and some are worshippers of, you know, Kartikeya in the south, like that. So they do not have a specific place in the Vaikuntha realm, right?
Yeah, but they have a place in the original manifestations have a place in the Kailash Dham, which is in the spiritual world.
Oh, so that will be their destination, Prabhuji. They would also go to the spiritual world, but to that dham there.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, definitely. And they will stay there forever and will never fall down.
Oh, okay, Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Prabhuji, once again for such a beautiful class. We would like to end the call here by offering obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Chapatitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Anantakoti Vaishnavindu Ki Jai Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai His Grace Hari Parshad Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji.